as the great financial reset accelerates, you're going to see more and more efforts by governments to confiscate money from the producers of society. That's people who work, people who own businesses, people who have a job, and so on. And then an effort to redistribute that money to other people, typically based on color of their skin. So, for example, the reparations in San Francisco that are being very aggressively pushed, well, not just San Francisco, but for the entire state of California, are calling for black people to be given millions of dollars that is, of course, taken away from white people, in essence. This is kind of a South Africa situation where your ethnicity determines whether the government's going to rob you or whether the government's going to give you money. And also, of course, Democrats are the only people proposing such lunacy, but there's a Democrat in Colorado that is saying that white-owned businesses have to be taxed with an extra punitive white tax, and that this money should then be redistributed to people of color. And this is not ridiculed by the media. This is not ridiculed by anybody in the Democrat Party. This is a straight-up, you know, sincere proposal from the left. And it shows that this trend is going to accelerate. Now, there are really two trends here that we've got to focus on. Trend number one is government taking your money based on your beliefs or the color of your skin, or let's say the fairness of your skin. And the second point is government giving out money to people as a form of stimulus to try to keep the zombie economy alive. Now, this stimulus is absolutely critical because without this stimulus, which of course involves all this money printing, you would already have experienced a massive global financial debt collapse. And in fact, it was the stimulus from the COVID years. Remember when they printed trillions of dollars and handed it out to people in America, and all kinds of foreigners even took advantage of that and got away with stealing hundreds of billions of dollars from the U.S. Treasury and so on. But that was designed to keep the economy alive. It wasn't designed to help the health of the American people. It was designed to keep the economy from collapsing. So both of these things are taking place in a very aggressive manner. And what's critical to understand here is that the first half of this, the money confiscation, can only happen when the government has access to your financial records, where they can just take money out of your bank account, which the IRS can do at any time. You know, the IRS can just send a letter to your bank and say, seize this bank account, and the bank complies, because of course the bank is licensed by the government. And without that licensure, you know, the bank can't operate, obviously. So any money that you have in the traditional financial system can easily be confiscated, even completely outside the rule of law. Your money can be taken for unjust reasons, in other words. And it could be that you're fined for something, maybe some online speech. Maybe you said that you oppose transgender mutilation of children. Oh, $500 fine. We're just going to automatically deduct it from your account. Don't worry, we have your account number. You need to do nothing, right? That kind of thing. Or they could take your money for being white. They could take your money for being Christian. They could take your money for any reason that they make up. Maybe you're a gun owner. Maybe you're a Trump supporter. Maybe you believe in free speech or you believe in the Constitution. You're going to be labeled an extremist. Oh, you're such an extremist for having these beliefs. So this is what is absolutely coming. Make no mistake. In fact, the process has already begun. Now, there's another circumstance under which they can do this, and that is, well, a declaration of war, and that they need everybody's money in order to fund the war effort. They can just take a percentage out of your bank account, and they can call it a war tax. Literally, they can just call it a war tax. I mean, nothing is stopping them from doing that. And they can just say, okay, we're going to take, let's say, 10% out of everybody's bank account who has any amount over $100,000 in the bank. Can they get away with that? Of course they can. They'll just do it. Is it illegal? Of course it is. Do they care? No. Will somebody sue them? Yeah. And then that lawsuit will take many years to go through the courts, and then the courts will find that, well, of course the government has the right to take your money because it's not even really your money. It actually belongs to the bank the minute you deposit it, and thus you're just making an investment in the defense of America, and thank you for your investment. You know, that's the way this is going to go. So just to be clear, they're going to take your money if they can find it. Now, this brings up the obvious question. What assets can they not confiscate? And the answer is assets that they can't see, assets that they can't find. And for example, if you have physical gold and silver in your possession, they really don't know where it is. Now, sure, they might have access to a record of a bank wire that you sent to a gold retailer in order to buy the gold. But after that, they don't know where the gold is, and they can't electronically take the gold. Now, sure, they could perhaps send government agents to your house to demand you give them the gold physically. Like, we're here, and we don't want you to be, you know, hauled into jail now. Just give us the gold, or whatever. But you could have all kinds of true and reasonable answers like, actually, I was robbed a month ago, and the gold was stolen, and here's the police report, actually. Right? Maybe somebody broke into your house, and you filed the police report. And you listed the gold was taken, and so on. So you just produced that paperwork, and then boom, there you go. There's my proof that the gold was stolen. I don't even have it anymore. But thank you for your service, Mr. Government Thug, right? So that's an answer. Or it could be, yeah, it was lost in a boating accident, you know, which along with all my AR-15s or whatever. People have all kinds of different, you know, reasons behind these things. And these reasons can have various levels of, you know, believability or deniability or what have you, depending on the circumstances. Now, the other way to have assets that the government can't see and doesn't have control over and therefore cannot confiscate is to have certain types of crypto. Not all types of crypto, because Bitcoin in particular, but other blockchains like Bitcoin are fully visible. And since most people acquired Bitcoin through KYC exchanges, you know your customer, then your name, your social security number, everything is tied to your crypto wallets. And since those wallets are not private, the government can not only know exactly how much you've transferred into those wallets, they can also determine your current wallet balances. They know who you've paid. Bitcoin has zero privacy, by the way. Even if you create multiple addresses, you still have to send money to those addresses, and that creates a link back to your original account. So only privacy coins provide asset storage in the digital realm in a way that governments cannot see, and banks cannot see either, by the way, and therefore governments cannot confiscate. If they can't see it, they can't take it from you, and also they don't have power to take it from you. This is why, of course, the governments of the world hate privacy coins such as Monero. But this is why people who appreciate privacy love privacy coins such as Monero. For example, if you take Bitcoin, which is, again, fully public, and you swap it for Monero, then the trail of what you've done with that money ends right there. The minute you have Monero, nobody can track it anymore. It's as if it goes into stealth mode. It disappears. In fact, Monero uses what's called stealth addresses as one of the privacy mechanisms in order to achieve this. And there are other privacy coins, such as Fero, that even have a larger anonymity set and are working on more advanced features that will really leapfrog the current status of privacy. So you're going to see a lot of advancements, even in Monero. They're working on full membership proofs, which is another kind of expansion of the anonymity set in order to have even better privacy. But the bottom line is that if you have coins in Monero, then the government can't see them. Now, I'm not advocating that you use this to commit any sort of crime or anything. I'm just saying that if you've earned money and you've already paid taxes on it, and then you've used that after-tax money, let's say, to purchase Monero, then don't you have the right to keep it and not have it confiscated by the government just because maybe your skin is white, let's say? Because that's exactly what's being proposed in places like Colorado and California, to take money from white people and to redistribute it to people of color. Well, don't you have the right regardless of your skin color, to keep the product of your labor, to not have it confiscated. So you're not even doing anything wrong. You're just trying to keep the money you've already earned and paid taxes on. You've simply converted it into another form, which is a privacy coin. Now, of course, the media is going to claim that, oh, everybody that is using privacy coins, you know, they must be involved in money laundering and you know, child trafficking. No, actually, it's the Democrats that are doing the child trafficking. This is why they keep attacking that movie, Sound of Freedom. They don't want you to see that. And those child traffickers, they just use cash, by the way. They don't need crypto. They're just using suitcases full of greenbacks, $100 bills. So good old green cash is what's used for most of the crimes around the world, not privacy crypto, by the way. Privacy crypto is increasingly used by honest, upstanding people who are law-abiding citizens, like myself, who just want to maintain their privacy and also protect their assets from illegitimate, illegal, unconstitutional confiscation by rogue government entities that have lost their freaking minds, which, of course, almost describes every government entity at this point. So that's the purpose of something like a privacy coin. Also, by the way, you need to be able to send funds to someone else without the government blocking you sending that or the government knowing who you've sent to. You might have, let's say, a family member that's in the Donbass region of Ukraine, and you're trying to help that family flee the region because, of course, it's a war zone. And you're trying to get money to them so that they could buy food and have transportation and so on. And, well, the SWIFT system doesn't work. The banks are a total nightmare. And you don't want to raise red flags about sending money to eastern Ukraine, which is the disputed territory now. Russia claims it's their territory. So technically, you could be accused of sending money to Russia. Might put you on the State Department terrorist list or something, right? And all you're trying to do, again, is help a young family with some young kids make it to safety and not die, right? Maybe you want to send them $500 worth of crypto. Again, you can't do it in dollars, you can't do it in the banking system, but you can send them Monero, or you could send them some other privacy coin, you know, like Vero or others. And by the way, we're going to be discussing and interviewing top leaders in all these privacy projects on my new show called Decentralize TV. And the website for that is decentralize.tv. And if you go there and sign up for the email list, then we're going to actually email you before each episode posts so that you can see in advance what project we're going to be talking about. And again, we're interviewing top privacy crypto pioneers and project developers and all kinds of people who are involved in this space. And we've already posted an interview about a project called Local Monero, by the way. And Local Monero is a way to purchase privacy crypto peer-to-peer without going through centralized exchanges. So if you want to check out that interview, it's already posted on decentralize.tv. But we have more interviews coming up, and we're going to be delving into this privacy crypto technology, which allows you, again, to hold and to transfer and to save assets in a form that can't be confiscated by rogue governments. And it also can't be confiscated by a bank or a brokerage fund or anybody else where you typically put money on their platform. You know, if you have money in the bank, it's actually the bank's money. And you just have to hope that they don't go bankrupt. You have to hope that they give you your money back when you ask for it. You have to trust the bank. And we've increasingly learned that, well, you can't trust a lot of these banks because they keep going under, right? Well, in crypto, you possess your own money. You have custody. You have control. Nobody can stop you from owning it or using it or sending it or spending it. Nobody can stop you. You have control over those coins. As long as you have your seed phrase, your password, you know, your own local wallet, which is the recommended way to hold these things. You know, don't keep your coins on exchanges. Take possession, and then you have control. And at that point, no government can even see it if it's a privacy coin. Now, again, they can see it if it's Bitcoin, but they can't see it if it's a privacy coin. And thus, they can't steal it from you. They can't take it. So I believe that every honest person would endorse this idea of privacy crypto. Although a lot of people, for some reason, they want to publicly claim that, oh, I don't need privacy. I don't have anything to hide. You're right. Yeah, you do. You bunch of virtue signaling morons. Of course you have everything to hide. Your salary, your spending habits, you know. All the personal lubricant you bought at the local, you know, store for your sex party or whatever. People have all kinds of things to hide. Or the donation that you made to the trucker convoy in Canada. You've got that as well. And in that case, if you did make a donation, guess what? The government tried to shut down your bank account. They successfully did in many cases. Just from you making a donation to a peaceful group protesting government authoritarianism in the space of medicine and health. So there are many examples where if you donate money to a group that the government doesn't like, they may try to seize your bank accounts. This could happen soon in the U.S. when you donate to political candidates. What if you donate to Trump? Oh, there's an IRS audit. Oh, what do you know? Amazing. What a coincidence. Oh, there's a bank error. Your bank account's no longer available. Call customer service. We'll see if we can help you. That kind of thing. Everything's being weaponized against you. Everything is being weaponized against the American people. So understand that privacy crypto is money that you control, that can't be seen by anybody else and therefore can't be taken from you. And the more we witness what's happening in the world right now in terms of the authoritarianism, the censorship, the deplatforming, the financial confiscation, the bank freezes, the collapse of the dollar and so on, the more I think you'll realize how critical it is to become literate, to become familiar with privacy crypto and the role that it can play in protecting your liberty, your freedom, and maybe even your life. So tune in to my new show, decentralize.tv. That's the website. That's also the channel on Telegram, Decentralize TV. Just search for that. You can join in the chats there. We also have decentralize_TV on Twitter, by the way, where we are announcing the new episodes as well. Watch the shows, learn the truth, and you too shall experience freedom. Thank you for listening. Take care.